Last time on Wanderlust. The trek east is long, and it is very dull. And just as evening's setting in, you come to a river cutting its way south through this tundra. Across the river, you can see that the landscape changes pretty significantly. There's a lot more green, a lot less, you know, immediate snow, and you're kind of left hopeful that, oh, just right over the river, there's actually something over there besides just frozen nothingness, which is an encouraging sight.
I think it might be a better idea for us to stay here on this side tonight and cross it in the morning.
I've been to a number of places where the trees are green, and so this is sort of an odd thing that has happened before. The place that I originally came from did have more, in some ways, technological advancements than you guys have, but I was not... I don't know how any of it worked. Are you telling me that we are going to literal different worlds when we wander through the forest?
I don't know if I've made my mind up on, like, if that's what's happening.
I don't like that idea even a little bit.
If it's uncomfortable enough for you, you can always head back. The rest of us are still going.
I don't think I can do that. I can accept that things can happen outside of my control. I am unwilling to accept that I didn't do everything I could do to control them.
You seem to be taking that pretty well.
Well, the way I see it, it saved my life. I don't think I would have been alive if whatever this is hadn't fixed me.
Now, I'm not saying we all have to, like, hold hands going through this, but maybe try to keep an eye on the person next to you. Make sure we're not losing the group.
You feel the cuff slip off your wrist, and Mitchell backs away into the fog. I'm sure that I'm right, Estelle.
You are fading, my dear.
Fading? What does that mean?
It means you are dying.
When you come to, you're on the ground in pretty horrible agony, and Maul is
totally gone.
Nowhere to be found.
Yep.
You see a hunched figure over a pool of water staring at you, moss covering them, hair stringy and scraggling down, eyes lock on you, the laughter gets louder, and you see something stand up and start lurching towards you. Hector and Fred, you see this figure kind of slouching towards you in the gloom through this narrow, rocky ravine that you find yourselves in. The woman's breathing is kind of ragged and hoarse as she slouches and drags herself towards you. What do y'all do?
Well, do we hear what she's saying?
Not words.
Okay. Hector will draw his axe.
I am ready for the next challenge.
All right, Fred, what about you?
Well, I don't think we want to go in guns a-blazing, do we? Or axes a-swinging? Whatever the phrase is.
It is called being prepared?
Oh yeah, I'm all for that.
Everything in the wilderness is willing to kill you, and I am not afraid of anything out here.
I just want to make sure we weren't going to make the first move, and turns out it's not hostile at all.
As you say that, this woman who was kind of clambering towards you stops and just sort of sways. She's maybe, let's call it 10 yards away, call it 30 feet. And as she stands there, you just hear her mumbling under her breath. quiet words. Her long, pale fingers start tracing little patterns in the air as she mumbles. Around you, the mossy stone walls begin to almost shiver and shift and slide as moss falls off of them onto the ground, pooling at your feet and forming up tendrils that start snaking their way up your legs.
I start hacking at them.
All right.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a good idea to let that happen.
Roll me some hacking at them checks.
Would this count as fighting?
It can count as fighting, yeah.
I got a 6.
Dang, okay.
I rolled well, finally.
I got a 1. Not great.
Well, what are you rolling to do?
I was also doing fighting to hack these things off.
Gotcha.
With my axe.
So, Hector, you start chopping at these mossy tendrils that start forming up your leg, and this is not hard for you. This is relatively easy. You have absolutely no issues doing this. Every time one wraps around your leg, you're deft at just chopping it off at the base as you do. But you look over and see Fred just get drug off his feet away towards the witch, who is, I'm just going to say, is a witch. We can just call her a witch.
I think Hector's moving forward to fight the witch.
Are you just going to try to, like, hack at the witch?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, roll me a hack at the witch check.
You gave me a barbarian, I'll barbarian.
Hey, that's fine.
Well, that's good. That's only a 3.
Okay. So, you rush forward and swing with your axe, and right as you do, you feel it meet with just a large lump of moss, and it just, like, mushes through, and the figure just crumples in front of you, and you see this witch just kind of floating backwards into the fog, dragging Fred along as she goes.
I'll try to follow, I guess.
Alright. You stump off into this kind of like misty channel of stone. As you go, this like narrow kind of claustrophobic ravine of stone that's like barely shoulder wide, you're kind of a hulking guy as you try to smash your way through it, starts to split and divide like a creek with several tributaries fanning out across this forest. You realize as you look up that the light is getting dimmer and dimmer as the top narrows and narrows, and you're like nearly getting wedged in places as you push your way through, always chasing after just like the shouts and vague images of Fred and this witch getting drug off deeper and deeper into this collection of caves. Fred, meanwhile, you're getting drug or almost what feels like floated across the ground on moss. It's growing up your body and onto your chest as it kind of feels like you're being, I'm going to say cocooned, but don't read into that. It's not that cocoon. Not capital C cocooned.
It's not that cocoon.
As you're being enveloped, let's say, in moss. What do you do?
Can I say I'm disappointed that I'm playing in a game where you had to say not that kind of cocoon?
New low.
I think Fred is still just trying to fight against this, trying to scrape off whatever's growing onto him.
Okay. Make me one more roll.
That's a little better. That's a 3.
Okay. So you are like trying to basically like tear at the moss that's growing up your body. You can feel it getting to like your neck and your face as you're pulling at it, trying to get away from your eyes. And as like the last thing you see before you're enveloped in this warm moss is a dim little cave lit by a small fire. There's a cauldron bubbling on it with like this sort of sickly green smoke pouring off of it. The witch is almost floating above it. You can hardly tell where her feet are anymore as you hear a shrill cackle and that string of mumbled nonsense begins to be muffled by the moss growing over your ears as you feel yourself lift off the ground. Meanwhile, we are going to cut over to Juliet. Juliet, you're laying on the ground in excruciating pain. What do you do?
Can I do a stunt?
What is your stunt?
It's medicinal. Use your once per session per person, use your plant identification to heal someone.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I like this.
Yeah, so Juliet is in extreme pain. She is lying on the ground and she just starts slowly feeling around her of like, okay, what's this plant? What's this plant? What's this plant? And dragging herself if she needs to, towards okay, I know that the thing I'm looking for needs a little more sunlight. Let's get to a spot that might have a little bit of that, or it grows by trees, or, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So you managed to feel around, and what specifically were you looking for again?
I guess, a plant to a painkiller plant.
Gotcha. So,
or reduce inflammation.
Right. I think it's poppies are what basically make opium and
yes,
a lot, yep, of opiates. Mm-hmm. You basically find the equivalent of that.
Okay.
You find trying to think of the ungrim way to put a painkiller that is not frequently used to treat people that are going to get better, shall we say, you know?
Yeah.
This'll numb you, but you know this is not a good place to start, you know?
Right. Yeah. This is a last resort sort of thing, but she's also kind of at that point.
Yeah.
So that unchecks the lowest stress box that I have.
Yeah, and we're gonna say we're handling this a little bit narratively, that
okay.
I will say maybe adding the effect of
numb,
drugged,
yeah,
shall we say, as you start eating this, to the point where you're no longer in excruciating pain, you can feel your vision warbling, that scene that you saw before of this other dark clearing is now always sort of on the fringes of your mind. You feel you can always tell it's there as you pull yourself up and look around this dark forest. What do you do?
Yeah. So she's thinking to herself, she's gonna die in another planet. It doesn't even have trees that are the same color. Other planets are not meant to be died on. They're meant to be explored and have fastidious notes taken on them. So I think she's going to try to explore and find out where she is and any clues about a cocoon. Maybe she's completed the long walk. That would be lovely if that were the case. So an investig notice, I guess.
Sure. Make a notice.
6. Because I'm the best.
So I said, you're... vision at this point is sort of hazy as you're now absolutely hazing in and out. You're sort of always a little bit blurry as you stumble your way around. This isn't even what plants are supposed to look like.
It focuses my vision. I don't have extraneous things.
Right. And as you do, you're maybe I'm done already. I'm gonna find a cocoon. And then you just kind of look at a tree and you find just a little cocoon dangling there, and you're just staring at it, and then a moth comes out, and you're like, yeah, that's what cocoons do. You turn into moths. And then it's sort of like that dream thing where a moth emerges from it and just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until you're just looking at a man moth, and you're just like, yeah, that seems right. That's, yeah, totally. You feel a soft, hairy insect hand brush against your cheek and a quiet voice go, you're not done yet, but I'm waiting. And then the moth flies away and you're just left alone in this forest. And you're like, yeah, that was normal. That's probably true. Sure.
Bye, moth.
And then you snap out of that and there is a tiny split open cocoon there. And you're like, yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
Had a moth moment. All right. You feel a little bit clearer now.
I do like how she got a legendary perception check. That's what she did. And then it's like...
got Mothman.
No, not got Mothman. Cody's first description was, your vision's a little hazy.
Look, sometimes we roll really good and we have visions of moths. That's where you're at right now.
Gonna write that down for my game.
All right, so Juliet is lost in the wood, lost track of all of her friends. What is her first instinct?
So the information I have, I'm currently very lost, but I'm not dead yet. and there might be a moth around here somewhere.
What do man-sized moths know about human anatomy, though, really?
Don't take away my sense of optimism. Can I check for any, like, evidence of where Maul went? Like, broken branches, footsteps, that sort of thing? From, like, my body?
Yeah, you can.
If there's nothing around where my body was, I'm still in my body, obviously. If there's nothing around where I was laying on the ground dying, that I would, like, try to retrace my steps to see when somebody else diverged.
Sure, yep.
It's a 6 again.
Nice!
Because I'm a champion.
So, despite, like, the horribleness of your circumstances, you're kind of in your element. You're in a forest.
Drugged in the forest.
Yeah. You managed to find something to make you feel better, and you're like, you kind of know you're on a clock here, but you're like, okay, I have actually done a decent amount of tracking at this point. I am good at recognizing botanical abnormalities. So the floor of the forest seems to be ancient and untouched. There is not a lot of really tall undergrowth, but a very thick mat of low, mossy undergrowth everywhere. You can see behind you where your footsteps tore at that, and the bruising to, like, small leaves and little plants in this area. And as you look off, you can see where one track went away. I assume you want to follow this?
Yes.
So, as you begin to follow it, you kind of grow more and more and more confident that you're like, yeah, definitely, like, this is an easy track to follow. You are still very hazy, but that does kind of have the effect of just giving you extreme tunnel vision, where you're just kind of like, all distractions shut out, like, I'm following this path, I'm going for a walk. And you sort of hobble off. Every step, you can feel, like, a soreness in your chest, but you're like, yeah, that's manageable now, that's okay. And as you go, you just kind of have this lingering thing, like, every breath feels a little shallower. Every single one feels a little bit worse, and occasionally you have to stop to cough, and you're like, that's probably just fine. I'm feeling optimistic. Meanwhile, Estelle, you're alone. Sheriff Mitchell unclipped his cuffs and ran off. What do you do?
Yeah, so I think she's just kind of taken aback for a minute and just keeps watching after him until the fog or whatever the part of the forest that makes it confusing makes it unclear if she's even looking in the right place anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where she finally thinks of what she can say after he's way long gone. And she yells after him, I'm not the one who handcuffed himself to me.
You shout that out and it just echoes into nothingness.
Yeah. On the plus side for her, I think once he's gone, she kind of starts feeling what she felt in the wolf trial, where it's like she's alone again. She knows how to handle things by herself. And it's like she's starting to feel more competent again now that she is solo, because she don't have to worry about someone else. And she takes a few seconds and refocuses on that she needs to get Matthew better again. And she thinks for a second. And I think you said before that she, like, kind of, she had a direction that she was pretty confident in that was correct.
Yes.
And I think she closes her eyes and thinks the point is to get lost and not to think she's going in a like, she's not trying to go east. The point is to get lost. And she opens her eyes and she starts walking, not in the opposite direction of where she thinks she's supposed to be going, but, like, off of it.
So, the moment you take a step off the path that you are pretty confident is correct to go east, that burst of confidence that you felt of going like, I'm alone, I know what I need to do, this is pretty comfortable for me, immediately feels like it is under an attack. It's an odd thing because it's coming from your own mind, but you had that moment of clarity, that moment of self-reflection, you took a step, and then immediately doubt. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank for the right term here. It's like a lack of confidence, uncertainty, yeah. All of that just comes pouring in as this very raw, visceral emotion. Make me some kind of like mental fortitude check.
I don't have a lot of mental fortitude. I guess perfectionist or composed?
Composed definitely is what you're looking for here.
Plus one.
So you take a step, and I will say this is like marking, I'm going to mark some mental stress for you. Immediately, the right direction is confused to you. You're fairly confident you took a step towards where Mitchell went. You take a few stumbling steps, and immediately you're like, I have no idea now. Everywhere you look, any sign of which, like, just being able to pick a direction is gone. All the trees look the same any direction you go. You feel like you've lost any sense of the angle of the ground, where the sun is in the sky. All you see is a perpetual mist. And in your head is just the constant voice of, wrong way, wrong way. Don't turn there. Don't look that way. It's definitely back the other way. You should take a step back. Every step you take, as you just meander off further and further and further, make me some kind of notice check.
Danger sense?
Danger sense works great for this, yeah.
You never want to know danger sense is working great. You know what I mean?
No, but that is a plus three.
Oh, good.
Okay, so with a plus three, you wander around like near panic at this point, like heart racing. Definitely things have gone wrong. And as you do, you kind of have this sudden sense of like it being a separate thing. It's in your head. It is an emotional response. But you can feel it being a separate thing to like your conscious thought as you wander around the forest. And as you have this, that like brief snap of like clarity that this is maybe an external thing, not from you, the fog around you thins and you see a spindly woman with long, thin hair. Masking her face. She's wearing tattered, dirty robes that flow down to the ground. She seems far too tall and far too thin, and almost like a marionette is dancing her fingers in the air, and you see the vague shadow of Mitchell wandering, confused, mumbling to himself as she floats just beside him, whispering, "What do you do?"
So I can see her.
Yep.
Does she see me?
Not yet.
So I'm going to say that Estelle keeps her hunting knife pretty within, like, within arm's reach, within reach.
Yeah.
She is going to take that, and I'm going to say she's going to... Not like axe throwing, but like knife throw it at that woman.
Make me an attack roll.
Cool. I'm going to argue CrossFit.
Do you have anything else besides CrossFit?
Not for that kind. I mean, okay. I have animal handling. I have cooking. I have sewing. I have CrossFit. I have surgical. Maybe surgical.
Unless you
want me to just say determination.
Well,
I'm determined to stab her.
I'll give you CrossFit on this one, because I was going to say danger sense also feels right, and I think danger sense plus CrossFit equals knife throwing. I'll give it to you.
Plus three.
As the knife leaves your hand, you have this like sudden burst in your mind that just goes, you don't want to do this. And you like hesitate as the knife leaves your hand. You see it tumble through the air, and instead of the blade hitting, the butt of the knife hits. As it does, her hand pauses for a second, and you see Mitchell, like, jump, turn, you hear a shout, and we're gonna see how he does.
Go, Mitchell!
Ah! You hear a shout as he, like, throws his hands up, and you see the witch dive at him, and the fog obscures your vision again.
When I hear "don't do that," what side of that is on? What side am I hearing that?
That was in your head, just like all
just
of that.
Just in
doubt.
My head.
Yeah, like you could feel that the same way you felt that like doubt, that gnawing doubt that felt at some point external to you. It was that same external thing that went, "You don't want to do this," right as you like hesitated on that knife throw.
It didn't feel like I heard it. I heard it on one side of me.
Mm-mm. Oh, are you asking if you feel like there was a similar figure standing over you?
Yes.
No, you would get the sense that this is coming from that one thing that was right above Mitchell. I understand what you're asking. I don't want to like mislead you. There is not two of these witches, one for each of you. There is one of these witches that is standing next to Mitchell.
Okay. Estelle is going to run forward and towards where the fog obscured him, and she's going to bend down and pick up her knife as she's doing that.
Okay, go ahead and give me another danger sense.
Plus one.
Okay, so as you go down, you pick up your knife, gone. You don't remember seeing them at all.
I don't remember seeing them?
You don't see them at all, right? Okay. Like, they're not around you. You start trying to find a path, right? And as you do, that torrential doubt starts up in your head again every step you take. And it's confusing because you can tell there are directions that you hate going and there are directions that feel good to go. And trying to map that in your head into like a heading is just impossible. You just wander aimlessly through the fog, that stress and anxiety building in you again as all of the confidence that you once had in your ability in the wild, you can just feel it fading away from you every step you take until finally you see this low kind of stack of rocks. You see a little cave with a cauldron bubbling in it, a little fire underneath, the sickly green smoke pouring out. As you look around, you realize that you're wedged into a tiny little rock cavern you can barely remember how you found. Like, you wandered through the fog, totally lost, your mind constantly playing tricks on you, until now you're in this claustrophobic little tunnel leading down towards a cauldron. And we're going to cut over to Hector. Hector, you saw Fred get drug off, you made chase, and eventually almost got stuck in these narrow stone passageways, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were able to defend yourself, but now you're sort of lost in that you just kind of heard, like, Fred shrieking and mumbling off into the distance. What do you do?
Can I try to track the witch lady?
You can, yeah. Make me some kind of tracking check. Did I literally give you tracking as a skill, by the way?
You did.
Yeah, okay. So tracking works, yeah.
What'll a 5 get me?
So with a 5, you're able to very easily navigate your way through these passageways, right? No challenge at all. As you make your way to a dim... Like, you make your way deeper into this stone kind of maze and eventually see a small fire, cauldron atop, bubbling, green smog or green sickly smoke pouring off of it. As you look, you can see hanging from the ceiling, like meat on a hook, 3 little bundles that are sort of quivering and moving. What do you do?
Do I see the witch in here?
Right now, no.
Can I try to sneak over and cut them down?
Yep.
Would silent work for this?
Yeah, I would think so.
That's a 0.
Cool.
If anyone was wondering, I had a +3.
You stomp over, like, wheezing and panting as, like, chasing this was pretty difficult. You can feel your heart racing. Your furs are overly hot as you're sweating profusely, just pouring down your face. As you get up to one, tear the moss away. Fred, suddenly you're able to see the face of Hector right in front of you. What do you guys do?
Kiss.
Spider-Man kiss.
Am I, like, conscious?
Yeah, right now you're conscious, yeah.
Okay. Thanks for getting me out of there.
Hold still. I cut him down. I do not catch him.
Oh, God, okay. Well, alright, I guess I'm down now.
You know, I probably should have thought that one through. Usually I'm cutting dead deer down, so it doesn't really make sense for me to catch it in this... You know, that's not important.
I'm guessing they probably don't complain too much when they hit the ground.
Not by the point I've got them, no. Can I open the next bundle?
As you take a step to the side to open the next bundle, or to, like, cut the next bundle of person open, you feel a cold grip on the side of your head. Bony fingers, almost feeling like they're pressing into your skull. Your mind fogs, and you can feel an outside presence trying to enact its will on you. Make me some kind of, like, mental fortitude check.
I have none of that, unless you let me get away with something ludicrous.
Do you have something like bloodthirsty or...
No.
Okay.
The only thing that I could vaguely make a case for is if you give me singing.
Nope.
Like I start humming a tune.
Nope, definitely not.
Keen?
Just tell me what your role was.
That was a negative one.
What does Keen get it up to?
A zero.
Okay, you can have Keen. You feel your mind fog as your vision just blanks and you collapse to the ground.
Thud.
Meanwhile, Fred, you feel a very heavy man collapse on you.
Oh, God.
You look up and see this, like, horrible, rotting, bony face. Eyes that are milky, not green, just, like, these kind of vacant, malice-filled eyes staring down at you. Her bony fingers still where they were when Hector collapsed. She leans down close to you and brushes a finger against your cheek. It's cold and sickly feeling, and she goes,
"You will make a fine supper!"
As you feel yourself...
Oh, that voice sucks.
Why? Why would I do that to myself? Which voices are hard? As you feel yourself swimming in and out of consciousness again, what do you want to do?
I want to try to fight. I don't want to be supper.
I think you should sing a jaunty tune and be able to resist.
So, fighting?
Yep.
That's pretty good. That's a 5.
Okay. So you manage to, like, rip an arm out of this, like, mossy cocoon that, like, this terror was started by Hector, and you, like, swing up to try to, like, bat at this witch. And as you do, your hand connects and you actually feel like you've hit this, like, spindly bony body as you hear it hiss and kind of slide away from you. And as you look up, you see Estelle kind of standing confusedly in the entryway to this cave, her eyes sort of vacant and terrified looking. You see a witch behind her making little, like, puppet string motions. Same witch that was bothering Mitchell. You didn't have one at that point. I didn't lie. It just moved. So you see that same witch above Estelle making weird little puppet signs. Meanwhile, Juliet, you are tracking these footprints and you see them get to the edge of this ravine where they stop. And you can see when you look down that it's like this weird sort of like smooth eroded stone from water pouring through this area. You can still see a little trickle of water running through. As you look down, you can kind of see, like, from your vantage point down into this cave, Estelle is standing at the mouth of it with a witch doing, like, marionette hands above her head. You see Fred on the ground. He has one arm free. You see Hector collapsed and two mossy bags behind them. What do you do?
How far away am I?
Call it call it 20 feet up, and then you can get as close as you want. Like, you can clearly see down to something happening.
Okay. I think she gets her knife and starts running down to where Estelle is. Because that's it. She's in front of the cave, right? She's the closest one.
You are above her, right?
Right.
It is not like a runnable path down. You're like looking down a very narrow 20 foot high. You're not like looking down a hill. You're looking down a
So the cave is under me. It's not across the ravine from me.
Okay, so the ravine keeps going when there's ground above it, making it a cave. The ravine leads into the mouth of the cave. I'm having trouble describing this, right? There is a very narrow split in the earth that is very stony, moth-covered, mossy stones leading up, right?
Yeah.
You're at the top of that looking down.
Okay.
Eventually, there is no longer a split in the earth.
Okay.
But the cave continues.
Yeah. Okay.
Underground. So you can look down underground, see the cauldron bubbling, but you're above it, right? So you couldn't jump straight down onto the cauldron. You could jump straight down onto Estelle before she walks fully underground. Does that make sense?
Okay, but the cauldron is inaccessible.
The cauldron is 20 feet below you and underground. Estelle is 20 feet below you.
Right.
Down a sheer drop.
Right, okay. Can I drop a rock on the witch?
Ooh, I don't hate the idea of pushing a rock on a witch.
Okay, I will do that then.
Snow Whiting her.
Right.
Make me some kind of pushing a rock from a witch roll. Make me a slaying a witch roll if you could.
Athletics.
Since this is an established thing about Snow White, I think this should be like Pokemon. It's a vulnerability, so double damage is done.
It's a vulnerability of witches.
Well, no, but then we also have to consider, is Juliet rock type? Then that would get same type attack bonus.
It's a +3, so.
And that was with athletics?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to give you a choice. Do you want to very successfully push this rock? Or do you want to not get hurt very successfully pushing this rock?
I want to very successfully push this rock.
Okay.
I'm all healed up. I'm feeling great, Cody.
You get behind this rock, and it's, like, perfect. So the erosion from this area, you find a place where it has thinned the rock until there is, like, a tiny little tower and then a huge round chunk of rock, right? Seemingly impossible for this type of stone feature to exist, but, you know, erosion does weird things. It wore out the base before the top, and it is precariously perched right over where this witch happens to be. You get underneath of it, and you shove, and you feel like, I can't quite do this. And then you're just like, yeah, you know what? We're going to 11. And as soon as you do that, you feel your insides like, nope, we gave up. The rock cracks and falls. And as you feel yourself like reeling in horrible pain, you kind of realize like, oh, that is bad because I am very drugged. The boulder falls. You hear a shrill shriek and a crunch. Estelle, suddenly all of that mental fog disappears and around you, the fog vanishes. You can suddenly see perfectly clearly. You can see back down this pathway that you somehow found yourself on, like this narrow stone ravine. You can look up and see Juliet looking very pale, just kind of like leaning over the edge 20 feet above you. You can very clearly see that Fred is on the ground, like punching at another witch and two bags that probably have Fred and, or not Fred, that probably have Mitchell and Juliet in them. You can
Maul.
Maul and Mitchell. Maul and Mitchell, gosh, in them. Yeah, it's just like all of a sudden, all of that mental fog gone. And you're like, oh, I like remember walking here. Got it. I know how I got here. You can like look back and see the path that you walked on. What do you do?
Do I see, Fred punching a witch. Do I see Hector?
Yeah, Hector's like slumped over on Fred asleep.
Okay, wait. So Hector.
Did you not listen to the comedy of errors?
So Hector asleep on Fred, who's punching a witch.
Who is half in a mossy sack punching a witch in the face.
He's like a mermaid right now. Moss mermaid.
Yeah, he's like a moss mermaid. also with Hector on top of him.
A moss mermaid, a mermaid, if you will.
Do I still have my knife in my hand?
You definitely still have your knife in your hand.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna go rush over to help Fred, and I'm gonna try to stab the witch.
Make me a slaying a witch roll. You have to have that specific skill, slaying a witch.
I guess I'm not rolling with anything then.
Oh, that was a joke, you know.
You can use CrossFit. Surgical danger sense.
If you use surgical, you're going to have to describe what that means to you.
Nope. I'll stick with CrossFit, thank you.
That means you remove her arm.
I was going way darker than that.
I was thinking like pinpointing veins, you know?
Yeah. That's where my brain was going to. Okay, that's a plus four.
Okay.
Anyway, have I ever told you girls how beautiful you are?
How you never want anything bad to happen to us.
Ever.
So you rush over and this witch is very clearly like dealing with Fred, right? Like very distracted, not noticing you. And you just stab her full in the back. There is a piercing shriek and you feel yourself almost faint. Meanwhile, Fred, you see the witch in front of you just like shrieking horribly. What do you do?
I try to get myself out of this cocoon out from under Hector.
Okay, so what do you do after that?
Oh,
we'll make that all one rule.
Does he see me when he gets out?
Yeah. I'll like mental unclear, like,
one of these people made you confused. One of them made you sleepy.
The sleepy witch is still there. The confused witch is gone. So you guys can like see and understand what is going on.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I think I'll try to help Estelle finish that one off.
All right. Make me a roll for witch slaying.
Okay. Using fighting.
Yep. Are you using one of your weapons?
Yeah, it'd be my axe.
Okay, because that gives you shift, which will do more damage, which in this case matters.
Yeah, that'd be a two.
Okay, so you swing your axe, right? And right as you're about to make contact, that hand hits your face and you feel like ice pouring through you, right? Your vision immediately starts tunneling as the axe is in the air. And Estelle, to your eyes, you just see like Fred, just his eyes go shut as the axe hits the witch. She dies and Fred slumps on the ground with Hector.
Okay, shit. So I've got Hector and Fred down. I've got Mitchell and Maul, I assume, in
bags.
Yep. And I've got Juliet.
Like 20 feet up.
20 feet up.
Throwing rocks down.
Not anymore. She's just laying there.
All I can see is Lisa in The Simpsons. I am the lizard queen. That's what I imagine Juliet doing. I am the rock queen.
Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that Hector and Fred are still alive and shake them to see if I can wake them up by, like, shaking them.
Okay, make me, like, some kind of medicine kind of check thing.
Make a wake-up-somebody check.
Surgical. No.
I mean,
I don't know. Determined?
No, I mean, like, surgical makes, you're doing a medical check here to see, like, what's wrong with them.
Okay.
Like,
that's a zero.
Well, you know, they are audibly snoring, but you can't seem to get them to wake up. So you're just kind of like shaking at them. Fred and Hector, you are in a blissful sleep. You know, okay, this is going to be a fun little interlude. Fred, I want you to describe to me a good dream for Fred. What would be just like a solid, like, you know, you wake up from a dream and you're like, I feel good about that dream.
Oh, gosh.
You know, I didn't get murdered. It was like a good feeling, like fun thing, you know?
Gosh, putting me on the spot.
I am, yeah. Do you want me to give you an example, like a personal example?
No, I know what you mean.
And I guess if you want a minute, Hector, I will say both of you have to do this. Whoever has one first can go first between Hector and Fred.
I can go. I think Hector's good dream is just what he's been doing, hunting wolves in the wilderness.
So yeah, you see like Hector on like a snowy field. There's beautiful flowers growing everywhere and he's like skipping and just decapitating woodland creatures. and they're just like turning into trophies on his back as his pile of pelts grows larger and larger and his axe never dulls. And he's singing a jaunty tune as well, all about like busty wenches and, you know, mead and stuff.
We could homebrew mead, Cody. It's not hard.
What?
I don't want to.
I want you to.
If I will make kombucha again, maybe.
You just gotta ferment honey is how you make
mead. I would like both of those things. Anyway.
Once I have a functional, totally refrigerator system again. Otherwise, kombucha is explosive.
So I think for Fred, his like kind of blissful dream is, honestly, it's very similar to Hector's. It's him in his workshop, and he's made some really awesome tool or some really awesome thing that he worked a long time to develop, and is just really happy with it.
Okay.
Just him and his workshop.
I like this idea. I'm going to push you a little bit more.
Okay.
Be detailed about this, because I think this is something that you can make.
Ooh.
Like, what would be like your, you know, like Tony Stark making an arc reactor as he's getting like ice bathed, you know? What's your like arc reactor for Fred?
This is going to sound really silly, but I kind of like it. He had, in this dream, he has been working on effectively an exoskeleton that can like augment his physical capabilities and give him more endurance while out in the wilds and out doing stuff.
I like this. This is like Fred's dream is just schematics of this perfectly forming together in your mind, right? So Estelle, you're shaking them awake unsuccessfully. They're having their best dreams. Meanwhile, Juliet, you roll over on the ground again, feeling very bad at this point. You can tell you've done some damage here. As you stare up at the sky, your vision now just a mess. You're barely holding on to consciousness. You're kind of like similarly in this like weird like half dream, half awake. Nothing's really making sense as these trees seem like they're getting taller and taller and taller as you have this like sinking feeling of you losing consciousness. And as you do, you see giant moth wings in the sky. And you're like, yeah, that's pretty. Gently flapping as they lower towards you.
Manny's shaking her head like, no!
This huge moth. Just a moth, by the way. Like, I said man moth. It's a man-sized moth, but it is just a moth. lands on your body, its face right next to yours, and it whispers, "You did well. It is time to go." And you feel hands wrap around you and wings beat as you're lifted off the ground.
Where are we going? Are we going back home?
Back to Estelle.
Do I hear giant moth wings?
You can make me a roll for moth noticing.
Danger sense?
No, actually.
Inquisit animal handling.
You know, let me look and see what fits, because I'm not just going to give this to you.
I still have to scale a 20-foot wall, so, you know.
Man, I'll give you inquisitive, and that's a stretch.
God, that is so low. Plus 3.
Yeah, so you hear a flutter and look up, and you just, like, out of the corner of your eye, feel like you see a wing fluttering off into the trees. And you look up and do not see Juliet.
Shit. Okay. Well, I can't fly, so I guess I'm going to go try to let Mitchell and Maul out of their bags.
Okay, yeah, so you go and open the bag for Maul and Mitchell. I mean, this is a clumsy thing to do. They're, like, hanging upside down, as I said, like, meat. Maul, I'll say, hits the ground first, like, gets up and is just, like, confusedly looking around. Mitchell is the second bag that opens. He, like, again, hits the ground, gets up, looks at you and just goes, "Was there a... I think I was attacked by a witch."
We can talk about that on the way out. Help me wake up Fred and Hector. Juliet's gone.
You see Maul kind of
look up and she looks at you and goes, Juliet was gone like quite a while ago, actually. I lost track of her in the fog.
No, I just saw her up there on top of that, like 20 feet up there. And like, I don't know, maybe a minute ago. And she's gone and I just saw like giant wings. And I don't know how to take that, so we gotta get moving.
Are you sure you saw giant? Because, like, look, I'm not, I don't think Juliet could have made it. She was looking pretty bad when I lost track of her in the fog.
She was looking pretty bad when she pushed a rock on a witch.
Does Maul think I died?
So, yeah, she's still doing pretty bad.
I assume so. Okay, Maul starts, like, you just see her go over to the wall and just basically walk up it, like, all four hands. But,
how?
She just looks down and goes, you know, and just keeps Spider-Maning up the wall. Looks around and just goes, there is definitely no Juliet. So she got carried off by a bird? That's like bad, right? That was directed at Estelle.
I don't know what it was. I don't think the wing looked bird-like, but it's kind of hard to tell because it was way up there.
You see her starting to, like, check around for tracks and stuff. She shouts back down, so, what do we do now?
Can you help me wake up Fred and Hector?
Oh, yeah, and she just, like, jumps off, starts slapping Fred in the face.
With the metal arm or the normal arm? This matters.
What do you think?
All right, Fred, take one physical stress.
All right, Hector and Fred, you're awakened to vigorous slapping. One of you from a metal hand.
While they're... Because I tried to wake them up and I couldn't get them up. Is there, like... Is the only opening up that 20-foot thing, or...
There's a path behind you, too, yeah.
Okay, am I able to see outside at all?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, when you... If you were to look around, there is, like, nothing obscuring your vision. This is a fairly brightly lit forest with absolutely no undergrowth, so you can see for like a really long way. It's like absolutely easy to figure out where you are. You can see where the sun is. Finding a direction is not at all hard at this point.
Yeah, so while they're helping me to wake up Fred and Hector, Estelle does a quick like, okay, I think we can figure out how to get out of here check.
Yeah, you can. It would be extremely easy to. In fact, it doesn't even feel like you're that deep underground anymore. You're like, oh, like, those walls are a little bit high, but not that high, you know?
Yeah.
Your brain was being scrimbobulated, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, the medical term, scrimbobulated.
Yep.
Scrumbology.
The study of scrumbo.
Thank you, for waking me up, Sheriff.
The sheriff did not wake you up. Maul just goes, hey, no credit to him. I'm the one that slapped you.
Oh, cool. So he just got captured and did nothing on his stroll through the forest again. Got it.
You were passed out by a fire.
Who said that?
That would be Maul.
I mean, yes, but I also freed Fred before that happened. And you're fine. You woke me up. He just did nothing.
Mitchell looks at Maul confusedly and just goes, did you just defend me?
Also, hold up. How did he get here without Estelle? He was handcuffed to her.
I unhandcuffed myself, and then I tried to punch a witch.
You didn't use your gun?
What is a gun?
You said he had a gun at one point, I think.
Nope, guns don't exist in this world.
Other guy did.
I'm pretty sure you said something where he would shoot him.
It's like a bow.
He doesn't even have a bow. And also, how would Viking know what a gun is? That's okay.
You said he was ambiguous. He's been traveling a while. I'm sure he's picked up weaponry from other people that he's killed.
That's actually a fair point. That's a fair point. You know what sucks is when you're just waiting for there to be a good line to end the episode on, and I think we're going to end on scrum diddly umptious or whatever Fred said.
No, I got Mitchell, Sheriff, I might have misjudged you. You have earned the smallest modicum of my respect. And he pulls out what for him would be like a pocket knife, and it's a big knife still.
It's like a machete.
Yeah, he's like, I give you my smallest knife, so next time you can stab a witch.
He takes it and looks at it and just be like, you know, I want to be like offended, but honestly,
This is actually pretty useful. So I really have nothing negative to say about getting this. And then he goes, but it feels, you know, and he like gets in his bag and rummages and just hands you a detective novel. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.